Hey, bartender, what you serve your agave spirit in is just as important as which agave spirit you serve. A beautifully crafted heritage agave spirit served in a snifter? That snifter may work great for whiskey, but for a high-proof mezcal that hasn't been aged in wood, it starts to evaporate once you pour it into that bulbous shape. And the volatile aromas, they get trapped in that bulb before blasting out like a cannonball into the face of your unsuspecting guest. I've seen more than one mezcal newbie walk away because of that full frontal assault. So, what should you use? How about a vaso veladora? These traditional little glass candle holders are what you see all over Mexico for drinking.
Do you see them in churches too, Lou? That's what they're really for.
Hey, I didn't know you were in this commercial, Chava.
I'm not. This is just the sound of my voice and your subconscious correcting you.
Ah, of course. But regardless of what my subconscious Chava says, you don't need to break into Mexican churches to stock up on Vasos Veladora for your bar or for your restaurant. You can just go to mezcalforlife.com, where they stock this and other barware or mezcalariaware in bulk. For $72, mezcalforlife.com will ship you 48 of these beautiful traditional Mexican drinking vessels.
And candle holders.
Sure, drinking vessels or candle holders, whichever you need. Mezcalforlife.com can help you find the perfect drinking vessel for your perfect agave spirit. Head to mezcalforlife.com now, and you can get your bar ready to serve the geekiest of mezcal geeks with the finest mezcalaria ware. I am Lou Bank.
I am Chava Perivan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the award-winning, critically acclaimed podcast that helps Gringex bartenders better understand agave spirits in rural Mexico.
There you go. So today we're talking about something that has everybody, including Lou, just ready to find some conspiracy theory. Right? Everybody knew this was going to happen, and they're ready to find something that nobody's talking about because the numbers don't lie, correct?
Well, numbers don't lie. Our interpretation of numbers can be lies, but numbers don't lie. Numbers are our friends.
Okay, so what happened? What was this big scandal that has shaken the grounds of every mezcal lover right now, Señorito Lu?
Well, it's really only about 12 mezcal lovers, but... You know, I actually am not 100% sure I understand the scandal. So, Chava, you've got the Mexican government, they don't work for you. Well, I guess they do work for you because you are a tax-paying Mexican citizen.
Yes, of course.
Citizen, yeah. So the Mexican government, right, has a division that in essence is like the Consumer Protection Agency.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So, yeah, you go.
Yeah, and every once in a while they'll just test stuff. Like they just came out with their magazine that I'm guessing is quarterly.
I have no idea,
but let's just say quarterly.
I'm not a big fan, but I know it exists, and I know some of the scandals that they have created in this country. Yes.
Yeah. And as I understand it, there are three things that they investigate in this particular episode. Or issue. So this is an episode. They have issues. So one of the things they investigate is garbanzo beans. The other thing that they investigate is latex gloves. And then the third thing they investigate is mezcales.
Yes. And I think everybody was bracing for this to happen sooner than later.
Really?
But, well, you know, it's becoming extremely visible, mezcal. And... even as we know, it doesn't even scratch the numbers of tequila, but it is suggesting that one day it might. So if you want my very personal interpretation of why they decided to do this right now, it is to make all the tequila brands to know that, all the mezcal brands to know that, you know, they didn't box
tequila,
my mind.
Tequila, we're not looking at you. Mezcal, we're watching you closely.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, so. I honestly, and my feeling about this is there's some kind of internal war going on in the Mexican government. And, you know, we've seen...
I don't know what you're even going to suggest, but okay, go.
Okay, we've seen some of this where, you know, you had people, it felt to me like AMLO was supporting the CRM, and then a bunch of other people in the Mexican government who were opposed to the CRM, and I don't fully understand why anybody really cares at the Mexican, like at the federal level, about the CRM. But the fact that they opened up these other bodies to certify suggests to me that there's some kind of internal struggle going on that you and I are not entirely privy to.
Well, I don't know if you like soap operas. Usually, unless you don't see 150 episodes of the soap opera, you don't really get what's going on. You don't know who married who cheated with who. So I think right now, Jo and I just have watched 25 episodes. We still have long go to understand the internal gossip. I'm not over the top interested about that, but I feel, if that's what I dedicated my life to, I wouldn't do much. But I think some of the results are interesting. So a lot of the first reactions that I saw online, and it's so funny because a lot of the people crying that these brands were dishonest and were catched they were having 0.8 less alcohol in their mezcal than what they have declared.
Which is crazy. The fact that you're measuring into tenths and hundredths of a thousand,
Well, anyway, I was so surprised when I saw these reactions, because what I thought was... I thought people were going to react the other way around, saying like, you know, this is not quite fair competition for this size of industries. I guess you can measure these things in tequila. They're state of the art industrial operations. But when you're going into these smaller, even the big guys that they tested, they're rather small when compared to other industrial alcohol operations. And they're being measured with very strict fine plus minuses. So I thought people were going to be a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah, and when you're talking about something as volatile as alcohol, even, like whether you're talking industrial scale or tiny little, you know, handicraft scale, I don't think a tenth or a hundredth of a percent is that big a deal.
Well, and it's also, and I mean, this
so,
is...
So let's back up for a second. So the magazine itself, the investigation itself, they looked at 36 different brands of mezcal, right? Mm-hmm. And they came back with, I want to say, 6, 7, or 8 of the brands had either... less alcohol than they claim, but it was, I think the most egregious offender was like 1.4% lower, not even percent, but points, 1.4 points lower than what they claimed on the bottle. Or there was less alcohol than the 750 milliliters or the 1 liter that they claimed, but it was just a tiny little fraction.
Yeah, so I think that the important thing too, or what I understood out of this, it's not like they are saving their money by putting less alcohol, less spirits in these bottles. It just has to do with the fact that they are, most of them, they don't have $500,000 bottling machines. So they're bottling by hand, they're putting the cork by hand.
When one of the conversations that's going on right now is everybody should be bottling by hand in Mexico so that you've got human beings who are employed. You know, like, if you're going to say that, then you got to give them a pass when it's a little bit off.
And, I mean, to be absolutely honest, and I hope they don't do this, but if they were to test a lot of the brands that we love, that we know that are being bottled by hand, they will have significantly more problems than what we're seeing with these guys.
Sure,
you know, like,
sure.
I think I was telling you that one time I was in charge of following up with some bottling, and they lost 3% of all the mezcal we gave to them just in bottling. And I was like, how the hell do you lose 3% of what we gave you? And there's like, just the dynamics of this.
But you're talking about alcohol, which evaporates, right?
Well, not necessarily evaporate, it's liquid. Like, there's like so many moving parts. And again, like, I don't know if you've
things
seen
spill.
when you see like Diageo bottling stuff, that's no joke. That's like, you know, the like poetry of engineering. Right. And I'm sure they have like a 1%, 0.5% lossage. But anyways, so this happens. People start losing their minds and start trying to point at these guys saying that they're dishonest or whatever.
But there were two things that stood out for me in this report, one of which was flagged and the other of which doesn't seem to be talked about at all.
Okay, so first one, flag.
Okay, so first one, flag. Right, Gusano Rojo. Am I reading it correctly that in fact, like they found that this wasn't mezcal? Like is this somehow made from sugar cane or partially made from sugar cane?
No, and this is something that I think a lot of us will love if you could measure it. Cool. You know, I think one of the biggest problems that I see in the agave spirits category these days is that we are not 100% sure if what we're drinking is 100% of agave. None of the testing that the CRM is doing can guarantee you that they did not add sugar cane into your spirit. And, you know, they go to check their distillation like once a month, once every 3 weeks, but it's so easy to just throw a little bit of sugar cane in there and say like, oh, I had this beautifully super sweet agaves that had a yield that I will have never thought. So very easy to pass. No way to prove that. And no. To be very, very emphatic about this. This is not what they found out. What they found out about Gusano Rojo, which again is like such a minuscule thing, is that their superior alcohols are not within the range that are necessary to be called mezcal according to a denomination of origin.
Now, so, does superior alcohol mean it's the stuff that tastes better?
Okay, so you know how much I hate when people say like butanol ethanol number 3 is the one that gives you the mango flavor, because that's absolute nonsense. It's it has a lot to do with how it hits your palate, how it combines with other alcohols. You cannot just say this piece gives you this exact flavor, or because it has more superior alcohol it's going to taste better. That's absolute nonsense. In a lot of literature that you could go through into alcohol and other, into wine and other spirits, they claim that superior alcohols are one of the responsible for the more aromatic things and that therefore can be beneficial for the end result.
So there are a bunch of different kinds of alcohol in every bottle. The superior. Yes.
Yeah, so, you have, and it's depending on the amount of carbons that they have, and that will control their boiling points, technical stuff. But supposedly, each of them, they taste differently. And this is a super controversial thing, the fact that the NOM has established these ratios. This is one of the most controversial things about the NOM, because they literally took these numbers out of nowhere. Well, they took it out from other regulations that have nothing to do with mezcal, but they decided that in order to be called mezcal, you have to have at least 100 milligrams of superior alcohols by 100 milliliters of, I read a full article explaining how confusing these ways of measuring is. The point is, you need 100 of these units in order to be considered mezcal. And they came up to 83.
So your range is 100 to 500. Short.
They fell short, and therefore,
it fell short not because it's not 100% agave.
Nope.
Huh. Okay.
It doesn't have enough superior alcohols according to the NOM.
Oh, see, that to me, that's like much ado about nothing. Then,
there's something. There's something here, though. So you have an organism. The certifying body of mezcal, which has 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 things. You send your mezcal to a lab.
Yeah.
There's 8 things that they're measuring.
Yeah.
Forfula, aldehydes, lead, arsenic, methanol, super alcohols, dry extract, and alcohol like ABV.
Yeah.
They have to check 6 things, and then they put a check mark to the side and say, yes, this is mezcal.
Well,
and somehow, in this specific brand, they decided not to look at one of those criterias and checked it.
At the risk of sounding like I'm defending the CRM, let me defend the CRM. the CRM is not checking every single bottle that's released. And I find it hard to believe that if you checked through 100 bottles of Gusano Rojo that they all would fail the superior alcohol test.
Well, that is the other big complaint about the certified. Like, yes, when you usually send your sample for the CRM to check, you're sending a bottle. They're not taking a randomized liter out of a big tank and your production site. So, yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. This does not feel like a very big deal to me. What does feel like a big deal to me, and nobody's talking about it whatsoever. Right. The one thing that no big surprise that my Spanish ain't the best. In fact, it's non-existent. But as I'm looking at this, and we'll have a link to the actual article on the episode page on our website. But as I'm looking at this, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 boxes for each of the brands that was tested. Mm-hmm. And the very last box, nobody's talking about, and it's labeled Extracto Secco grams per liter. Mm-hmm. And I have a theory about that box, Chava.
Oh, Lord. Okay, here we go.
Okay, so when you look at the gnome for mezcal, at the end of it, not at the end, somewhere in the middle of it, it says you can have additives, sweeteners, preservatives, you can have coloring agents, aroma agents. You can add all of this stuff to your spirit. And it doesn't have a limit as to how much you can have. It just says, so long as the thing that you're adding is considered okay by the Mexican government to be healthy, in essence, you can add it. Mm-hmm. Okay, right?
Yes, it's all right.
Okay, so it says the exact same thing if you look at the gnome for tequila, you look at the gnome for Icea, Bacanora, says that, but in those specific cases, it does have a measurement. And that measurement is, it's in essence, it says it measures by extracto.
So if you, the way you measure this thing is you put a sample of the spirit inside an oven, you evaporate the spirit, and you're going to be left behind, you're going to be left with something, with some solids behind you.
Gotcha.
And my understanding is that there are some additives that you can add that are going to be, they're liquid and are in the boiling point of water or alcohol, and they're going to evaporate with them. And there's some other that are going to express themselves as solids. I guess sugar will do that. I guess other things that come in crystals.
Glycerin? Would glycerin do that? I'll bet glycerin would do that. Isn't that the conversation that we had with Cocktail MD, with Ryan?
Yeah. So I'm sure there's more than one that will do that. Interestingly enough, Gusano Rojo happens to be avocado with. So it's an avocado with gusano.
Sure.
So there's
So you're going to have a big fat gusano left over. Okay. Which would explain why it's the highest number of all of those boxes at 0.56 grams per liter. Right?
Yes. Or maybe it's the most artisanal of all the other products and the only one that has not been filtered
or,
and has some agave fibers in there still.
Or, and you know, and this is my point, is it possible that as we're looking at all these numbers, right? So if we look at Santo Gusano, it's got 0.05 grams per liter. If we look at Alipus, they've got 0.07 grams per liter. As we're looking at these other brands and we're looking at these Extracto Secos, is it possible that those are flavorings or sugars, sweeteners that have been added? Is it possible? Glycerin?
It is. I mean, according to what we're reading from the tequila gnome, there's a chance for that. But also the distillation of mezcal is not a perfect filtration system. There's a bunch of tiny little molecules that are traveling from your distillation pot into your serpentine where you're cooling the alcohols due to pressure. So that it's also just, you know, like how many times have you had a bottle of mezcal that you just filled straight out of the steel? And then after a few months, you have like a significant amount of solids in there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. Huh. Let me actually look at a bottle. Right. Oh, yeah. There's some solids. Okay. That makes
there you
sense
go.
To me.
There you go. So, I love you want to find the conspiracy in everything you look at, and would you love to say Lou Bang deciphered that everybody's using sugar into their spirits?
Not everybody, just these just people.
A few guys.
Just these guys.
But I think it's equally as plausible that it's just...
It's just the fibers.
Just the fibers and the fact that people don't want to filter the hell out of this because they will be losing flavor.
So, okay. So then accepting that, I say that at the end of the day, this article, like, you know, I think I kind of prove that I'm not out to assassinate the CRM by saying, to me, this is just a big shrug.
It is not giving us anything really useful. If they really wanted to protect the consumer, yeah. I think there will be so many other things to measure. Most importantly, sugarcane. Presence of sugarcane or alternative sugars in the spirit. To do that kind of study, that will be very expensive.
I get that, but how does that protect the consumer even?
Well, because you're paying for very expensive sugars that are agave sugars. Sugarcane sugars are a lot more cheap. Like, they're a lot cheaper. So it's like if you go to a steakhouse and you're supposedly buying wagyu, but they're giving you just random stuff.
I want my
rights to be protected.
I hear you, but at the end of the day, if we're trying to conserve agave, I don't know that making sugar.
All I'm saying is just don't lie. I'm the biggest fan of sugar cane. I just want to know when I'm being given sugar cane.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so should we wrap this up with a big shrug?
I can say meow. You know, meow.
You say meow, I'll say shrug. How about that?
Okay, meow and not wow. That's it.
Okay, sounds good, Java. I'll catch you next episode.
See ya, vato.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Periban. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too, and listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.